May I speak in the name of the one holy, living, liberating God. Amen. The Basilica of the Annunciation is a church that is found in Nazareth, near the site of the story we often tell around Advent, where the angel Gabriel shows up and interrupts a young girl's life. Greetings, favored one. The Lord is with you. The church itself is grander than many others, maybe not quite true to the Virgin's humble origins. It was built in the 1960s, designed by an Italian architect by the name of Giovanni Muzio, entrusted to the care of the Franciscan custody of the Holy Land. And it is shaped like an inverted lily, concrete with indented dots on the walls. It is an imposing building. Yet the site of the building itself is nothing compared to the various images of Mary found inside of it. Various churches throughout the world have sent their own images of Marian devotion to be displayed at this holy site. And the one from the U.S., the American Mary, is particularly striking. The American Catholics would not let themselves be confined to two dimensions, no. They brought an image of Mary that literally pops out of its frame, a semi-metallic sculpture posing as a painting, her regal bearing imposing itself on the viewer as it juts out from the frame. It's a striking image, really. An understandable human response to craft for ourselves holy images that arrest our imaginations, call to us from deep to deep. That is why today I actually have a lot of sympathy for the Israelites. I have a lot of sympathy for them because I've been there, stood at holy sites or at moments when I was in need, and I've wanted something more. Wanted some sense of assurance of God's presence with us, God's presence with me. These people called Israel in our reading today had seen wondrous signs, yet they had yet to see the God who called them to loyalty and obedience. The God we've met in Exodus has eluded us so far. God's presence hid behind a burning bush that was not consumed as Moses took the sandals off his feet. God's presence was shrouded in a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night as the Israelites wandered out from Egypt. God's presence at the foot of Mount Sinai in our passage today is enveloped in smoke and fire. His voice sounds like a trumpet and thunder. Yes, the people called Israel had seen signs and wonders, but at the beginning of today's story, all they seem to be seeking is clarity in the face of mystery, comfort from their fears, a visual, tangible assurance of the invisible hand that had brought them this far. Is that too much to ask? We too seek assurance in times of trouble. We too put our trust in our own golden calves, images of our own making, and endow them with the power to comfort and assure us. We may not smelt our gold together and build shrines, though we do come awful close at times. But when the going gets hard, when the foundations of our world are rocked, it is often easier to put our trust in man-made idols. Whether it's a charismatic persona or the ideas they represent, whether it's the opinions of the like-minded, mind you, conservative or progressive, traditional or contemporary or emergent, or our criticisms of such, all these human creations, all these other allegiances have the power to consume us, smelting the divine light that shines through each of us into something monstrous, craven, inhuman. If we are to regain our true humanity, if we are to break the chains that bind us to our idols, whatever or whomever they may be, it will take more than pacifying words. It will take more than focusing on the positive stuff, escaping into our own self-constructed and self-contained worlds. It will require us to pledge our allegiance once and for all to the God shrouded in fire and smoke, the one who calls us, all of us, to the wedding banquet, where every human being, no matter their rank and file, is worthy of dignity and respect. But it is also the same God who demands that we dress the part, play our role in bringing about a more loving, more just world. To pledge our allegiance to this God and this God alone, to let go of the idols that bind us, will take the long and hard work of standing with the Israelites at the foot of Mount Sinai, attentive, doing the difficult work of listening and discerning together for where God may be at work in our midst. This is scary stuff, to trust in a God that we cannot see. This is scary work, to work toward something more than what our own allegiances can muster. There is a painting by an artist from the late 19th century, Arthur Hacker, and it is a painting of the Annunciation. But the image itself is arresting in a different way than the U.S. icon at the Basilica of the Annunciation. In it, Mary simply stands, visibly a young girl, shrouded in a fine dress, sitting by a spring with a jar of water at her feet. She is staring at you from the image, and there is just a faint image behind her of an angel whispering in her left ear. I love that image. I love the sense that God shows up in ways we least expect. I love the sense that God, though sometimes hard to identify, is present in our midst, whispering to us about where our true allegiances should lie. I hope that we can go out from here trusting in that God, trusting that that God is at work in our community here and now, trusting that that God intends to do something good with this body of Christ gathered here at St. Paul's. Amen.